Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and our guest today is my son. Look at how handsome he is. Well, if you can't see him and you can just hear him, you'll wait till his voice because it's very handsome. Isaiah, finally, after 50 episodes, you finally said, yes, Mom, I'll do the podcast.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. So I've had your playlist for a long time. How was your experience putting your playlist together?
It was all right. I had a bit of trouble just narrowing it down to 10. And I couldn't really use songs that I listen to now. I had to put songs from like way back when, just because the songs that I listened to back then, they've just manifested into different genres and stuff like that. So it's not really particularly what I listen to anymore, but I still do kind of listen to some aspects of those subgenres.
Yeah. So we listened to this playlist going out to the property and it was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Right. I was laughing a lot. If you had to describe your playlist to somebody, how would you describe your playlist?
Oh, I don't even know. Like I said, it just, these are the songs that like kind of put me into music more or less, or from what I can remember. So it's more or less just like being, you know, 14 to like 18 and just going through that, I guess. Not really anything in particular other than that.
I love it. It's awesome. Okay, you ready? Ready to get started?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's your first song.
Can you feel your heartbeat racing? Can you taste the fear in your sweat?
Boy, Rushed, Red Living in Black.
Yeah.
So what is your first memory, or why do you love that song so much?
The first memory of this song is it's probably the first like death metal screamo song that I can remember. And that type of music is what has been something I listen to solely in the gym, literally from that day on. So Under Oath is probably the first band I ever heard that like had this style of music. And then it's just something that I've always listened to in the gym.
So it just gets you pumped up?
Yeah, I mean, the gym is an outlet more or less for me. It's not really about health and stuff like that. I just use it to release my anger and stuff and aggression and stuff like that. And then just listening to this music like puts me in that like state, like it puts me back to a place of like getting angry and like all that shit, and then I want to just like go murder stuff. Like that's literally what it is. Like it actually brings out that side of me that allows me to go do my lifts. Like that's why,
not murder people.
Yeah, exactly. It probably keeps me away from murdering people because I can go turn into that person and then let that person be that person in that moment, and then just release all that and then go about my day.
You don't want to do like angry dancing or anything like that?
No, I prefer physically like going through something like that, like the pain, the process, the feeling heavy weight on my body and then just like exerting that energy. That's what that music brings for me. I don't listen to that outside of anywhere other than working out. Yeah. Or any super physically aggressive activity, like before rugby games or before, you know, like if I was to go box or something like that, that would be what I would listen to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who got you into scream metal? How'd you fall upon it?
No one. I don't even know how I got into it. I literally just heard it, and that was like, I was interested in it because it was these guys are actually really good singers, even though they scream. It's just when they stop screaming, that's when you hear their voice. During the screaming, you're like, what the hell is this, right? But it's just, yeah, no one introduced me to it, I don't think.
Like, you just kind of found it on your own.
I just like heard this song because it was really popular in a video game, I think, at the time, like some racing video game. And then I was like, oh, what the hell is this? I like looked up the soundtrack and then I found this band and then I started listening to them. There was a few bands that I was going to put on here other than this band, but this is probably the first song I ever heard that like had true screamo in it. So I was like, okay, I'll use this one. A lot of these songs are like that because I listen to much better versions of this genre of music now, but this band is probably like 20 years old or whatever, right? Like yeah. They're probably 17, 18 when they made this song. Like,
I love it. It's good. So this next song, Dee Dee, The Weeknd.
Yeah. So.
So let's get it. Time you both she's saying that's okay. Hey, baby, so you do know this is a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Dirty Diana.
Yeah, so he did a remix of it. And the reason why I picked this song is because everybody knows The Weeknd from his first song, like Wicked Games, or the first song that made him famous. But it's really funny because The Weeknd is like an R&B singer, but people don't understand what he sings about. They just think that he's, you know, he's got a really good voice and blah, blah, blah. But he talks about like really messed up music, like things, and nobody really listens to that, and they sing along to it and they don't even know what they're singing or talking about.
Yeah.
And The Weeknd is probably my favorite R&B artist because his voice is just so good. But he also sings about certain things that just are like, I don't know, that are different. And yeah. Same with like Ed Sheeran or whatever. People don't really realize what he sings about. He sings about drug abuse and alcohol abuse and abuse of childhood and things like that. So like people don't really understand what they're singing. They're like, oh, this is just so great. And then you like, you break the lyrics down and then you're like, oh, do you even realize what you're singing about? Like my favorite song by him is called Initiation. And it's, I didn't even know what the lyrics were for like 5 years. And then I started breaking them down. And it's literally a guy talking about taking a girl to like a club with his like five friends. And then they go home and do cocaine together and then have an orgy.
Wow.
But people are like singing this song on the radio. And like they have no idea what's going on. And like the song I Can't Feel My Face Without You is about him doing cocaine and he won a Teen's Choice Award.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you guys even know what the fuck I sing about? Like what, like when he got the award, he was like on stage, like, why am I getting this award? Why am I being nominated for Teen Choice? I'm literally talking about drugs with girls right now.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that bothers him because his, like, he does make pop music, but he has a very specific type of style of music. And he's not really recognized for that. He's recognized for those, like, poppy songs and shit like that. And I feel like he hates it because all of his more recent albums are bringing back that kind of style that he started with that.
Yeah.
Didn't really make him famous because people either just weren't paying attention or didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But when artists do that, I think that's much better because it's like, you know, it's like whatever, you know, his situation, he was like homeless and things like that. So it's like, that's the stuff as an artist you should be singing about because that's what you're most passionate about.
Yeah.
Just because your manager says you need to make a pop song and you get recognized for that, you know. That's not the genre of music that these artists usually create. Yeah. They make it to make money, but then the 15 other songs on their albums are what they want to make, right?
Yeah, I love it. So Isaiah, if you woke up tomorrow and you were 200 pounds heavier, would you rather keep that weight or lose your penis?
I'd probably lose my penis. Really? Yeah. I've like I've been big. Like I got up to 230, like 233 is probably the biggest I've ever been. And right now I'm probably like 190, 195-ish. And I remember being like, I wanted to get to 240 with my like first coach I ever hired. And once I got past like 210, 215, I was literally eating so much food and like waking up every couple hours just to eat to get that big. Just because I have a hard time getting big. And when I get big, it's like, I have to do a lot to get big. So if I was to ever be that big again, it would just like
you'd rather lose your penis over getting
400 yeah, pounds? For sure. Because there's like the pain and suffering that you have to go through to be that big. Like, and if it wasn't a choice, like yeah. It would just be too much because I've been the biggest I've ever been was horrible. And I couldn't even get to my 240 goal because once I got over 230, I was like telling my coach, like, this fucking sucks. Like, and he was like, you don't even need to be this big. Like, but you, that was your goal. So we're getting you that big. And yeah. I was like, well, yeah, like I'm done. Like we need to cut. And that was the first time I actually did a cut too. And I lost like 50 or 60 pounds and it was pointless. Like I got that big to get the same size smallness I was.
Yeah.
And it did no difference for me.
Yeah. What is something that somebody might not know about you, Isaiah?
I don't know. I'm a pretty open book. I don't really have anything. Like I eat, sleep, train, and make money. That's all I do.
So do you have any hobbies? Do you collect anything? Are you a hopeless romantic?
No, like the only thing I do is work out and work, and that's about it. Like I've recently started running, but I don't have any particular hobbies. I used to play a lot of video games and stuff, but I don't even play video games anymore. So other than that, like pretty basic stuff.
Pretty basic guy.
Yeah.
So Thomas Rhett. Die a happy man.
Yeah.
Why do you love that song?
Well, I don't love the song. I actually hate country. The only reason I like this song is because it reminds me of my girlfriend that I'm going to be engaged to soon. And this is the only song I can like tolerate per se. And when I think about it, I just think about her and just like everything we've been through. And
why do you love Megan?
There's a lot of things I love about her. It's hard to even explain, really. There's a lot of things that sucked for a long time but are now pretty good. So I think it was just weird for our relationship because when I got single again, I pretty much decided that the next girl was going to be it no matter what. And that was my number one goal. Like it was, okay, I'm single. I, you know, did X, Y, and Z. I was angry at my ex for a long time, but it wasn't really her fault because I took the blame upon myself, mainly because at the end of the day, like of course you're going to cheat on someone that's never around. Of course you're going to do X, Y, and Z when all that person does is work and work out. Right. So, you know, working 2-3 jobs and then never being home and always at the gym or dieting or whatever, that just situation happened. I was angry, didn't understand why. And then I started looking like, oh, okay, well, looking at all my past relationships, this is the same pattern. It always goes through. So what's the issue here? The issue can't be the girls every single time, right? I mean, nobody's perfect. So there is some blame on them, but at the end of the day, I'm in control of most of the situations. And that's just the way I looked at it. After that, I was single and I partied a lot and had a lot of fun, met a lot of girls, and did my thing because I was bachelor and I owned my own building and condo and I could do whatever I wanted per se. And then I met Megan and it was just kind of the same thing. Like I even told her the first day that we met, I'm like, look, you're, you know, we're just going to hook up and that's about it. Like that's our situation. I'm pretty open and honest. I'm not going to lie to you here. And then the first time we met, it was very different because I was used to meeting girls that were, I don't know, like just so boring and stuff like that. And I would rather be the boring one and you be exciting because, you know, working out, that's all I do. But if all you do is nothing too, then it's not really fun. So yeah, when I met her, she came back to my house, we sat in on my couch and we just ended up talking for a long time. And I just remember like some of the things she said. It was just so funny because my house is just so set up for just girls to come and go. Like I had bottles of wine and alcohol and like all this stuff, but I wasn't even drinking at the time. Like it was just total set up for that, right? And she knew this, noticed it right away, right? And I was just like, yeah, that's just what it is, right? Like I'm not gonna try to hide or lie or whatever. But then we just talked forever and talked for like 4 or 5 hours. And just the things that she said about herself and things that I like was like analyzing and seeing and whatever, just like very contradictive of what she was doing. So like she was big into drugs and alcohol and dumb shit like that. But what she was saying is, I want to be a fashion designer. I want to be this. I want to be that. And I was just like, well, like nothing you say makes sense because like what you're doing doesn't make sense. And like, I could tell that she wanted to do all the things she was saying she was doing, but she was just like I'm the popular cool girl. So I'm going to do the popular cool girl stuff, mm-hmm. But it just none of it made sense. So it was very intriguing. And then, yeah, just for the first probably 2 years of our relationship was a shit show, to be honest. Had to deal with so many crazy things that I never thought I would have to deal with. But at the same time, it was also like, okay, maybe this is probably like karma or what I did to girls or, you know, things that I had to just like learn to handle or deal with or whatever, because when quote unquote bad shit would happen before, I would just be like, cool, like you're gonna do that, I'm gonna do this, like you're not gonna change anything about me. Like it was so crazy because when me and Megan like met and did that and then spent the night, at 4 a.m I woke up and I was like, you gotta go. And she's like, what the fuck, like we went to bed like 15 minutes ago. And I'm like, yeah, I have to go to the gym and I work two jobs, so like I'll drop you off wherever you need to go and we gotta go on. And she was like mind blown about that because she's like, I've never met someone that's just like, you know, are so strict about everything. Like I had calendars on the wall, like I wake up at this time, I eat at this time, I train at this time, I go to work at this time, and that's just the way I've always been and probably I always will be. She's changed that for a little bit, but I'm still like
pretty rigid.
Yeah, rigid. But it's, as long as I get what I need to get done in the day, then it's fine. It doesn't have to happen at 7:15, 8:10, you know, like at that exact time anymore. But I do feel like I need to accomplish all that stuff or I won't feel good about the day, right?
Yeah, and that's okay. That. So what are some things that Megan has did to change you a little bit? What have you eased up on a bit of things?
Mainly my schedule, I would say. That's probably the biggest thing that was changed, just because when I met her, she was doing none of the stuff I wanted her to do. And none of the stuff that I was like willing to compromise on. So even though I was 100% sure that no matter who the next person was going to be, that I was going to commit to them, like no matter what, because I wasn't willing to keep doing this cycle of dating girls for 2-3 years and then breaking up and then relearning all that shit. And I was just at a point where I was like, I have my shit together. I quote unquote have money. I'm a general manager. Like I thought, you know, where I was pretty much where it was going to be for the majority of my life until I started doing a business or something like that. But yeah, so the things that changed were just like my mindset about those things. It was, I'm still going to do these things, but it's going to be a little bit different now, I guess. And in the beginning, I was like trying to, like, I knew I wasn't going to be able to deal with her habits and like her not working out and things like that, because it was just so much of a conflict of interest if she didn't do those things, that I just like, I didn't know how I was going to deal with it, even though like I was dealing with it. And then we just, yeah, slowly started bouncing that stuff off each other. And I think like in the beginning, it was really bad because I think she like, I remember meeting her friends and I fucking hated them. Like, and I still do to this day. Like, I do not like the people she associates herself with at all. And like, I remember meeting them and we went to a garage party. And all I saw was, as soon as I walked in, everybody's smoking weed, everybody's getting drunk, everybody's looks like it was just, I'm like, what is this shit? Like, I don't want to be around this. And like, why are you even a part of these people's lives? And it's like, it was just really weird because I already was a part of people's lives like that back in the day. And like, when I met Megan, I was like, quote unquote sober. I quit drinking. I quit doing anything that I didn't like doing because it just got me nowhere and I didn't want to do that stuff. So then Megan was like my first re-entry to like being around those people and things like that. And I just was like, I did not like it at all. And I just didn't like who she was when she was around those people, because when she was around me, it was completely different. And then when she was around them, it was completely different. And like, she saw that I hated it, and her friends saw that I hated it, and they thought, oh, Isaiah's here, he's too good for us, or blah blah blah. And it was never that. It was just, I didn't want to be a part of that life anymore. It's like, yeah. If you know, if you want to do drugs and drink and, you know, do that stuff and like hang out in a garage and whatever, like, go do that. But like, I'm not going to be a part of that. And when I was forced to be a part of it, it just was like so annoying. Yeah. So it was the same thing for her though, right? Because when she met quote unquote my friends, like when me and Caitlin would hang out, like Caitlin has always been a problem in all of my relationships because Caitlin owns a business. Me and her would hang out and talk business all day. We'd be on the phone talking. We'd go to the gym together. We would go hang out. And she was a really attractive girl too. And like, even her husband now, even he was like uncomfortable with it because of the connection we had.
Yeah.
And they just didn't understand that what me and her had was super professional and super businessy. And all we talked about was like hair on location and me starting a bodybuilding channel and me doing this and that. But Megan would always feel like inferior because she was smoking weed every day and drinking every day and blah blah blah. So when she would see me and Caitlin hang out, she'd be like, oh, is like Caitlin stealing my man? Or like, she'll say that none of this is what went through her head, but I can see it on her face, right?
Yeah, and a lot of women get intimidated by other women if they are stealing time away.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So when that was just the resistance, and those are the things that we had to change together, right?
And I think it's good. I think you guys have changed a lot of that stuff together, and you know, it's only been 3 years, you're going to have more stuff to go through.
Yeah, right? For sure.
So is this it, girl?
Yeah. So this song is like, all I can think about when I hear this song is Evan, one of my, like, I guess he would have been one of my supervisors at the time until I like out-leveled him or whatever you would say in the industry. But I just remember me and Evan, we would close together at Boston Pizza. So we'd work till like 3, 4 a.m. And we would just literally, like, no one would be in the restaurant. So we would blast music all night long. And we would just get so wrecked on shift because the bartender that we had there was an alcoholic and we were all underage and he would always give us smoothies and stuff. So we'd always just get super drunk and then work all night. And he would always be dancing on counters, singing this song and stuff like that, because it was his like favorite jam. But that whole like Boston Pizza crew, oh my God, like the things that just like happened in our friendship, it was just so insane. Cause we just dated industry girls and industry girls were crazy and industry guys are crazy too. And you just put us all together getting drunk and doing dumb shit. It always turned bad. Like, yeah. Always.
So how did you hide all that from your mom?
I don't even know. I didn't really even hide anything that I really recall. I was, you know, I think I was of age for most of that.
Yeah.
Like, I became a manager at 17 and then I got fired. Well, I didn't get fired. I got de-promoted because when they gave me my gray coat is what they would call it at Boston Pizza. We went to the bar to have like a manager meeting and I was like, well, fuck, like I'm just going to drink so nobody notices. And Kathleen noticed right away because she checked my Facebook and it said I was like 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I told my manager after like we left the room or whatever, I was like, what was I supposed to do? Like, we're in a meeting. Everybody's drinking. I don't want to be the odd one that's not drinking that just became a manager, because then everybody will know.
Yeah.
So then I lost my gray coat and whatever. But then when I became 18 again, they gave me my management back. So it's not like I was doing a lot of things until I was 18 or whatever. I did party a bit when I was like 16 and stuff like that.
You ever sneak out of the house?
Yeah, I snuck out of the house.
Really? How'd you get out?
I don't know.
You don't remember how you got out of the house?
No, I don't really remember that stuff because it's just, that's so insignificant to me. Like, I do, like, I'm sure I just walked out the front door. It's not like I jumped from the roof or anything crazy like that.
Did you sneak girls into the house when we were home?
No, I don't think I ever did that. I don't even know how I would have did that.
So I know you do a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So what book has impacted you the most?
There's really no set book. I remember the first book I ever read though that was like more than fiction. So Tony Robbins' Awake the Giant or whatever.
Awaken the Giant Within.
Yeah, I remember reading that book and then just like doing the visualization exercises and things like that. And it was just like, it wasn't like a profound thing, but it was just like, this, like, what is this style of literature, right?
Yeah.
Because I just remember, like, in school we would read like dumb shit, like, oh, what the hell is that book that everybody has to read in school? Like, I don't even remember school. Like, I was never really a part of school even though I was there. But I just remember like all the things that we read were just, it was useless. Everything I learned in school was useless. And then I was like, you know, a part of a rugby team. I was on like the senior men's division. We won provincial championships. So like I was the cool kid or whatever, right? Yeah. Like I wasn't the cool kid until high school, but that when I went to high school that I was the cool kid or whatever. Girls liked me and not like
you're attractive.
Yeah, it's not like anything special or whatever, but like it was just it was a different scene because when I was a kid it was the complete opposite. I got made fun of a lot and
you did
what nobody did liked you about my unibrow and things like that.
Oh wow.
And then I was just like I decided that when I went to high school I was gonna be cool. That was it. Like when the summer happened I decided I was gonna be cool and I was gonna look good and this was gonna be the new me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I even remember when I went to high school, like even after high school, like girls would message me and be like, yeah, like I had a crush on you in grade 6 or 7. And I was like, but like, you used to make fun of me. Like, I don't, but like, I don't get it. Right. Like it made no sense. I was like, you made fun of me with all the other kids. And like 8 years later, you're messaging me. Right. But yeah, when it came to books and stuff like that, it was, I read that book and I was interested enough to read other books. And then I started reading a lot because I was like, okay, I'm here, but I don't really like where I am. I'm the cool kid, the party kid, the girls like me, but I never resonated with that. I was like, it was just something I wanted to be. So people thought I was that. And really when I was quote unquote by myself, I didn't like any of that stuff. So I would have rather been in the gym. I would have rather been doing X, Y, and Z. But I thought going out to the clubs and taking girls home and things like that was like the cool thing to do. And that's what like, not like society or anything, but that's what like, that's what immature, dumb guys think are really cool. And the reality is none of that's cool. None of that even makes you anything. It honestly probably just makes you more sad and depressed and in reality.
That's right. I agree. That's a good quote, Isaiah. This next song. Kelsey, who's this band?
Metro Station.
Yeah. So why you like, what is it about that song or that group?
I used to listen to them a lot. When playing World of Warcraft when I was like probably like 11, 12, it was, I think there was like a YouTube video of this guy and it was so weird because it was like a really hardcore like YouTube video of him doing like really amazing at this game, but the music he had on in the background just made like no sense because this song is like basically about a guy saying he'll do anything for this girl, right? So you're like watching this like barbarian two-handed axe guy like slaughtering people while this song's playing, and that's the only reason why I remember it is because I was like, the fuck am I watching right now? Like, it's really cool, this video, but like the music makes no sense. And then we started listening to this band like as a joke while playing World of Warcraft when we were younger, like when I hung out with Jaden and Tyler and stuff in his basement. And then we listened to this band and like Boys Like Girls and like things like that, and then we just kind of, it was just kind of our thing. We would play World of Warcraft for like 15 hours and we would listen to these really girly guy bands. And yeah, like
it's crazy. What's your favorite family vacation you ever had?
I don't even know. I don't know. I think one of the really good ones I remember was like the cruise ship, but it's not like I had a super favorite one. Like they were all really good. It's just, yeah, I don't. Honestly,
do you like hanging out with your parents?
I mean, it's like yes and no at the same time, right?
No, what's the no part?
Well, because you're always busting my balls about I should be more fun and blah blah blah, but I just want to work and do that and then have fun when I'm 40. That's what I'm built for.
Okay, of all the ways to die, what do you fear the most?
I don't even like really fear death, honestly. I mean, everybody like.
What way to die would be awful?
I mean, they're all would be pretty awful to die. But I just like, it's just a natural thing. Like, I don't even really get like the whole death thing. Like, people probably call me a psychopath or, you know, whatever. I don't have feelings, but it's just the reality. People die and like it happens and you move on. Like, just so many things that just like don't make sense to me. It's like a death will like hinder someone for like. Like one that's coming to my mind right now is like my current, like Megan's ex-boyfriend, like she still gets upset about like some guy 6 years ago. And like, I have nothing nice to say about him. Like when you decide to do drugs and drink and drive, like, what do you expect to happen? Right. Mm-hmm. And I get that it's a bad thing. I had one of my ex-girlfriends try to kill herself too. She slit her wrists, but I don't like that doesn't affect me. Like, and I had that girl tell me that she wanted to kill herself because of me. And I was sad, but when I got older, I was like, none of that's like their choice, right? So any kind of death to me is like, if you die from old age or you die from like a coincidence or whatever, it just happens. Like there's nothing you can do about it. Like there's no reason for you to be, to let that death like ruin your life, right? Like so many people let these things that like happen ruin their entire life. Like, yeah. Like they'll be a drug addict for like a year or two. And then for the rest of their life, they identify as a drug addict, or their best friend kills themselves and now they can never find a new friend again or things like that. So for me, it's like when people die and things like happen like that, like I'm just like, okay, it happened. Yes, it sucks, depending on who it is. Obviously, yeah, you have feelings.
If I died, you're not.
Yeah.
You should probably be in yeah. the fetal position for a good fucking year.
I don't know about that. I would be upset, right? But like when people tell me that like their like step cousin died and they need to take like a week off work, I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like a month ago we had someone die at our job. He just had a heart attack at work or whatever and died. And like everybody at work was like so sad. And I'm like, I wasn't sad at all. Like I've never met this guy before. I don't even know what he looks like. I've heard him talk in chat before and I've had a phone call with him, but like, I'm not going to be sad for a week. Like, yeah, it sucks that he died, but like, what's
okay, you're gonna get a lot of hate mail.
No. And that's fine. Like, that's the thing.
I understand. I get where you're coming from for sure.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I don't have a really good answer.
I think you gave a really good answer.
Death sucks, but at the end of the day, like,
it doesn't have to take control of your whole life.
And you don't get to choose how you die either way. So it's like,
that's right. All right. Great, great artist. All right. Eminem.
Yeah, so with Eminem, I only picked this song because there's so many more I like, and this is the least favorite song I like. So I picked this song mainly because it was the first Eminem song I ever heard, and the only glimpse or kind of like memory I have of it is just hearing it when you played it in a car. I don't even know what that car was or how old I was or whatever, but I just remember hearing it and was like, what the fuck is this? Cause I've never heard this before. And I was so young that like, obviously it's like a new stimulus and whatever it is, my brain's going, what the hell? And then Eminem has like more of an impact on me than any other artist and any other thing probably in my whole entire life, because I've listened to every song Eminem's ever made, and I can probably lyrically speak every word of every one of his songs. There was a point where I was actually listening to like almost 200 of his songs on my playlist. I had an old laptop actually that crashed on me, and I lost 12,000 songs of music. And I think I had his entire discography, which is like 500, 600 songs. And I could listen to all those and like all those. But I went through phases with Eminem. Like, I would listen to really, really fucked up songs about him, like the song Kim, and I mean, that's probably the worst one. I don't even think it's like, I don't even know if you can find it anymore, but basically it describes him seeing his wife cheat on him, and then he chases her through a forest and then strangles her and kills her and whatever, and the shit that she did to him, right? Like, he like vocalized really aggressively in his music, and I resonated with a lot of that at that time, because my, like I said, my ex there, she slit her wrists and things like that and blamed me for a lot of things, and I was like 13, 14, so like at that age you just like don't understand, right? You're like, what is going on? Like, I don't even know what this is. Why are you doing this with scissors and shit like that? And I just remember being so angry, and then like listening to songs like that, and it would just like feed into my anger, but it would also like make me feel like I was doing something about it. Like, it was really weird. Like, I would be so angry, and then I would listen to like a song like that and like sing it, and then I would be fine after. And it was just this weird like cycle that I would go through with particularly his music, because he sang a lot about really fucked up shit, and a lot of really fucked up stuff was happening at the time, so I listened to it. But then even more recently, like, he just gets better and better with everything he does, and like his new album is like ridiculous. Like, when he came back and made an entire random album about dissing all the rappers in the industry, like all at once, I was like blown away, because the way I listen to music is I listen to the words. I don't listen to, oh, the beat's really cool. Yeah. That, like, I listen to what they say, how they say it, and what the analogies are and the stories they tell. So when I listen to his music, I'll listen to a song once, like 100 times. And every time I listen to it, there's a different way of him speaking, or a thing I didn't catch or see. And that's the reason why I like am crazy for Eminem, because of it. It's like his music is insane. And I think there's probably better rappers out there than him, but I don't think anybody can do what he does as good as he does. Like, he read the dictionary. Like, when he speaks, he makes an entire like sentence make sense, even though if it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, there's a song called Rain Man, and it's a song about nothing. Like, it makes zero sense. He makes no sense in the entire song, but somehow the song makes sense. Like, it's so weird.
It's awesome. So this song that I'm going to play next, I actually sent to Bethany.
Yeah.
Because I thought she would laugh. Right? Info.
I've never heard
it before. Yep. So you're going to tell me that you're a nympho? Is that what you're going to tell your mom?
No. Okay. The reason why I picked this song, it was a toss-up between this and a song called Swagger by Datsik. The reason why I didn't pick Swagger, even though it was the first dubstep song I ever heard in my entire life, is because this is the first style, this is the first subgenre of dubstep that I heard that I liked more than dubstep. So Borgor, he made a style of music called gore step, and it's just super aggressive, really high pitch, weird frequencies, basically. And when I heard this song, I didn't even really like it. I was like, what the hell is this sound?
Yeah.
But it was more fast paced and more upbeat than that like old school dubstep that was just like wobble wobble shit, which I liked. It was just too slow. So then when he came out with this stuff, he was actually a porn star at the time. So this album is basically him talking about whether he wants to continue being a porn star or if he wants to go into the music industry. So this album is basically just that, and him putting himself out there and being like, look, this is what I make. And he's a very niche artist. He became really popular because he made some big room house stuff that everybody likes. But anytime I've seen him live, I've seen him live every single time he comes to Calgary or Canada. He plays super over the top, really aggressive music that you never heard before, because he doesn't do sets or anything like that. And half of his music, he doesn't even play. He just makes things happen live. And he's probably the best artist I've ever seen live when it comes to that style of music. And I remember I remember being so high on drugs one day that I was at this rave and he did a song, a remix to Wiggle by Jason Derulo. And when the bass dropped, I cried. Everybody was jumping up and down, and I just stood in the crowd and started crying and didn't move. Like, it was so weird, but the way it sounded and felt, I was just like, this is like ridiculous. And I've always loved his like style of music. And I've always loved that when he comes live, he's like there for a good time. Like, even during like COVID right now, he's still doing live DJ shows in his basement. Like, he's by himself with turntables, like dancing and having a good time. Most artists right now, they're just like, fuck it, I'm not going to make music anymore, whatever, my career's over, or they just don't care. They're like,
embracing.
Yeah, like, he's like, okay, like, how can I do something? Because this is like actually what I like to do. And so many people just do what the industry says, make their hits, collect their revenue checks, and leave. Like, I've listened to so many artists that are just fucking garbage now. And even these artists now that I may not like The Weeknd's new album or Borgore's new album or whatever, but at least they're still doing stuff. Like, they're not making this excuse of, oh, I can't go do tour shows, so I can't do it. It's like, well, you have a camera.
Yeah.
You can use your YouTube platform.
That's right.
You can still post.
Your name is your platform.
Right? Yeah. Like, and
so what are your biggest pet peeves, Isaiah? Just two. Don't give me 15.
Yeah. I mean, just cleanliness has always been a pet peeve of mine.
So your house being like, you got that from me.
Yeah, I know.
So how did you get that from me though? Just watching me clean all the time?
No.
Like, our house was never dirty.
I know. I just think it's so efficient. That's the way I see it. I clean my house once a week, but it stays clean the entire week. I just don't understand people that are not cleanly. And like, when I see like spit on a sink or on a mirror, or like piss on a toilet seat, or like clothes on the floor instead of a laundry hamper, like, to me it just means like, if you can't even like clean up your toilet seat, like if you can't even put the clothes beside the basket in the basket, like, I just like, I don't think you can function. Like, I like, how can you go about your life like it? And like, simple things like making your bed and shit like that. Like, I don't get why people don't do that stuff. And then they wonder, like, to me, they wonder why, like, why can't I do this or that? And like, that's how I got all my promotions in any company I've ever worked for. How I climbed to the top was I did all the shit that people were like, what the hell? Like, why would you do this? Like, I remember when I cleaned Boston Pizza's kitchen And I was only a dishwasher for like 3 days, but my first shift there, I was like, this kitchen is disgusting. And I stayed after my shift and I cleaned the entire kitchen. Like I worked like 16 hours straight. The next day the managers came in, they're like, what the fuck? What's happened? I was like, I clean this. Like, how can you work in this environment? Like, it needs to be clean. It needs to be tidy. And if it's clean, it's tidy, then we can get things done.
What's your other pet peeve?
My other pet peeve. I mean, I have like a lot. I don't know. But
what would be another one that drives you crazy?
I would say people that complain but do nothing about it.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm no perfect saint or whatever. I do the same shit. Like today I'm not having a good day at work and I'm pissed off.
I know, you're doing really well.
But like chronic complaining but not willing to do anything about it drives me insane, because I hate to always do this to Megan, because like she's just the most recent one. But I've dated her for so long, and like people don't understand how we're together, and like people question a lot of things and like whatever, right? But I like, and yes, I'm hard on her, and it's the same way. Like, don't get me wrong, she does the same shit to me, and it's not a bad thing, but like I've made my investment in her, so when I like complain or I see this stuff, I always am like Megan would always complain about these friends that she still hangs out with. Like, they do this, they do that. Or she would complain that, you know, she gained some weight, or she...
You don't like complainers,
yeah,
generally. So let's not go down the
main... No, it's not that. It's not even that. It's just people in general. Like,
yeah,
even at work, like, people will be like, fuck, this happened just today. Someone complained that, like, this one girl, Kim. Oh, my God, Mom. I honestly... this girl... Every day you're like, hey, good morning. And she's like, oh, it's been a horrible... It's like 5 a.m., Kim. Okay, how could your day be horrible? Like, I literally just woke up and I poured a coffee. And this girl's like, every day, Mom. Oh my gosh. She's like, yeah. You know, her kid's been sick for like 12 months. Okay. My kid's sick. My husband doesn't want to work. I have to build a fence. And I'm just like, and I don't get it, right? Like, when people, it doesn't matter who it is, anybody, even when I do it, I like, I'll complain and then I'll be really upset or sad or whatever. And then I'll go lay in bed. I do this all the time. Actually, I'll go lay in bed after work and I'm like, I had a shitty day. Fuck everybody. Fuck work. I'm just going to quit my job. As soon as I lay in bed, I go, what am I doing? Like,
change your state.
I fucked up. You know what? The day was bad because I was mad at 6 a.m. and then I worked 8 hours mad. Now I'm laying in bed, giving up, realizing what the fuck am I giving up for?
Yeah.
I should have did something about it. Right. So that's a problem.
So welcome home.
Yeah. So this is like the first song I wanted to learn. Well, maybe not the first song, but one of the songs I really wanted to learn how to play on a guitar.
Yeah.
So I did like some lessons for it, and I never really got good at guitar. I got like fairly good at saxophone when I played saxophone. But I never really got good at guitar or whatever. But I remember I told Dad that I wanted to learn the song, and he tried to teach me it and just wasn't really working. And then whatever like happened, I don't know if it was the same day or whatever. I just remember, well, we played, we tried, but one night we just played, I probably ruined his guitar, honestly, but we just played on his guitar and just like made a bunch of sounds and was like going hard with the electric guitar and stuff, and nothing was making sense and nothing was sounding probably pretty good either. But it was just like a fun time that we had together when I was really young. And yeah, and that was it. So like anytime I hear that song, like it just kind of reminds me of that. It's nothing like...
Oh, it's a good memory.
Yeah.
What is one thing that your mother has taught you?
I mean, you've taught me a lot, to be honest.
It's just...
What are some things that I've taught you?
I don't know. It's, like, hard to, like, pinpoint something. Everything that I've been taught, I've either still implemented it, or I've spent the majority of my mature life unlearning those things and like changing them to like more values that I believe in or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like you and Dad essentially taught me everything. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, we can say we learn things by ourselves, but it's always a monkey see, monkey do thing. So, everything that I've just learned everything from you, and I've either agreed with it or I've not. So I don't know how to like pinpoint something down like that.
Is there something that I've taught you that has been instrumental in your life?
I don't know. I think one big thing that's probably stuck with me forever would be just like, I wouldn't say it's attitude, but it might be. In the context that the way you like speak and do your thing, and a lot of the time it's I don't want to say it's like a fuck you attitude or whatever, but it's like, I'm gonna say this and you're either gonna accept it or not, and that's where it is, and that's the hill I'll die on, per se, right?
Yeah.
So I have pretty much always been that way. It's why I've been fired. It's why I've been, you know, like there's so many bad things have happened with that, but it's always been something I've stayed true to, is this is how it is. This is how it's going to be. And this is how I'm going to say it. And it's up to you if like you want to accept it or not. And like an example of this happened last week at work. We were having this conversation about, I don't even fucking know why we do this at work, but they were talking about multiple genders and stuff like that. And I was like, there's two. You either have a penis or a vagina, right? And you know what? You can argue with me till you're blue in the face. But, you know, I went to school for this. Like, I'm a personal trainer, nutritionist. I've studied biology. I studied human sciences. Like, I'm certified in this stuff. So my sciences and my beliefs in this stuff are pretty much backed by science, right? And my manager, she said I was very narrow-sighted. And then I said to her, well, I live a life of facts over feelings. So if something's a fact, I don't really care if it hurts your feelings or your beliefs or your opinions or whatever. It is what it is. And you can either accept it or not. And that attitude has gotten me in a lot of trouble, but it's also, I've probably have a lot of respect from a lot of people. Like, I think it's a good attitude. Yeah.
To be able to express yourself, say how you feel. I've always been a big believer in that. And I think it's a good thing that you have adapted that from me, for sure.
And I mean, another thing with that is it's also, I've also been wrong on a lot of those opinions and beliefs too. So now I have that same mentality, but I also adopted the mentality of, okay, well, I'll listen. You tell me what you believe. I'll put my guard down or whatever and listen to it, but I may not accept it.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you how I feel. So when I was younger, I was the fuck you mentality. Now I'm the still fuck you mentality, but you can tell me what you want to tell me. Right. And you know what, if I'm wrong, then that's a new conversation. Then we can go from there.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Touching on mine.
Yeah.
You guys are a little crazy.
Yeah. So this band, they won a YouTube contest for who can make the most like coolest video or whatever. I think it was like something like so little and minuscule. They won like $500, right? And these guys like, they're like, fuck, sweet, we're gonna keep doing this shit, right? Like, we won money.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like a corny, cheesy band, or they still make music, but whatever. But I remember this song specifically, when I was like big into my party phase, when we would hang out at like Jaden's house with Tyler, we'd always have like girls over and we'd always be partying or whatever. This was always the like, this was like the start of the party song. Like this band was like whatever. But it's so funny because I don't even think about like good times with the girls or the guys. I think about at the end of the night when like Tyler would go outside and punch a fucking mailbox and break his hand because Ashley made out with Evan and Ashley's dating Tyler, or like I was dating Natasha and Natasha would like cheat on me. Like that's the stuff I think about when I hear this song.
It's not pleasant memories.
Well, it's not like it's not pleasant, but it was just kind of funny because the initial band was always like the really party stuff. But then it always turned into this huge clusterfuck. Like all those
alcohol and drugs are involved.
Yeah, all those parties would be like super fun in the beginning. And then at the end of the night, it was always like Ashley pill meme. Oh my God, this girl mom. She would do the most horrific things to Tyler. And then she would just disappear. It'd be like 3 a.m. And she would be like walking down Mackenzietown in the middle of the night. No one around, nothing, on a fucking Saturday night, wearing like a skimpy outfit, right? And then we would have to go find this chick in the middle of nowhere every Friday night or every Saturday. So like the whole industry of like serving and all that stuff, like as much as like it, like I learned a lot from that, I fucking hate that industry because it makes you think that you're like having a good time and partying and all that stuff, but it is literally the worst industry. Like yeah, you learn good things and like good values and customer service and how to deal with like someone yelling at you and things like that. But I think it's just when everybody gets off work and everybody parties together and then you mix drugs, alcohol, and people dating or the feelings, and people not dating but liking the other person, and then you're all having like these like orgies at the house, like it's not good at all. And then you all go to work the next day and you're like, oh, it's fine, like even though I fucking hate you because I saw you cheat on me last night with X, Y, and Z, like
yeah, it's crazy. This is your last song, Isaiah. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Run This, Rob Bailey. This guy's a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so Rob Bailey, it's not even really so much him. It's more his wife that has like really like solidified what I want to kind of do and how I want to do. This song is the first song I heard of them, and it was Dana, and she was doing a posing routine after the Olympia that she won. So he basically told his wife, look, make this shit happen if you want to make it happen. Change the whole narrative of women being petite and fragile and whatever, and go be a Mr. Olympian or Mrs. Olympian, as you would say. So she did that. Like, she won. She created female physique, because at the time there was bodybuilding, female bodybuilding, and figure. And figure is a girl that, like, I used to train figure girls, and how I would get them in shape is I would basically tell them to stop going out on Friday nights. Like, just stop drinking vodka, you'll be ready for a show. You just have to put on a skimpy bikini and bend over and show your ass.
Yeah.
You'll win. Like, I've helped a lot of girls win those shows. But she was like very muscular. And after this show, like, she looked like she was probably about to die. Like, she was so lean, so vascular, so gross looking. But to me, it was amazing. Just because I was like, this girl is so dedicated, right?
Yeah.
So dedicated to her craft. And then I started listening to how he spoke about his wife, and that's when it like really clicked for me. And just his mentality is fuck everything, kill everything. I think that's his slogan right now. He's had a few. So
yeah,
first one was Flag Nor Fail, which is the company he created, And basically that means never give up, never surrender. And that's his whole mentality, is everything he does is, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. And no matter what I do, it's going to happen. So this album and this artist is, that's what he did. He said,
this reminds me of you.
He said, yeah, he basically said, I want to be a singer. So I'm going to be a singer. Then he became a singer. I want to be a pilot. I'm going to become a pilot, became a pilot. I want to have the biggest supplement company in the world. Okay. I'm making a supplement company. And that's just, and his wife talks about her like that. And this girl's crazy. Like, she'll do like 300 rep drop sets, and you'll watch her and you're like, this 8-minute video of her doing shoulder raises, and he's like screaming in her face, like, go push, like, come on, let's go. And people look at that and like, okay, buddy, like, chill, relax. But they fucking love that. Like,
so what do you want to do, Isaiah?
Well, that's basically what I want to do. I want to do my podcast and my YouTube channel and stuff like that. And I'm heavily involved in redefining quote unquote masculinity right now. I think that's a really big issue in the world. And for me, I never really understood what I thought I was lacking. And now I realize that's pretty much what I was lacking. It's not in this like egotistical, like I'm the man kind of way. It's more of I never really was a man, right? Like I didn't have any values. I, you know, wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing that. I didn't really have any kind of direction. I didn't have, I had a father, obviously, but like, he's not there. And now I have Tyler. But I just like that when I started listening to or getting involved in that space, more or less, that's when I started realizing that, okay, this is kind of what I want to do and what I want to be a part of, because I can do everything that my dad taught me the opposite of it. So I don't get hell bent up out of him leaving. Like, me and him, we had our conversation. We, you know, buried the hatchet or whatever you want to say. But yeah, I just want to do all that. So everything that he didn't do, I want to do. And I see a massive lack for that. Not like all the partying and all the girls and all that stuff taught me was I was lacking in so many other things. And I want to teach, you know, boys or men, you know, chasing girls, doing drugs, you know, not having a wife and not having kids and walking away from them. That's
not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. And you shouldn't do any of that. And, you know, if you want to be a real man, then you need to
take care of your responsibilities.
Yeah, you take care of your responsibilities. If you make the decision to do whatever, there's a consequence for it. And whatever that consequence is, you have to live with it, whether it's a kid or not or whatever, right? It could be something simple. But if you have a kid, then it's your obligation to take care of them, I would say. You know, it's not someone else's responsibility to come in and take care of the kid and things like that. So I see so many things happening with so many people, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm learning about this stuff, and it's, I'm listening to podcasts from 2015, and the people I listen to, they are saying there's a problem with it now, then.
Yeah.
And now it's like 6-7 years down the road, and now I only see problems with that. Yeah. No respect, no anything, no ambition. The guys and girls that I talk to, they don't want to do anything. Like, the environment I work in, they just collect minimum wage. Like, there's such a lack of like good leadership,
yeah,
for men and women.
Yeah. For sure.
But I can't speak on a woman's behalf because I'm not a woman. So
yeah,
for me, my job is, I think, is to learn this and then teach it. And then hopefully my partner, she wants to learn that side. Like, she's really learning all that stuff right now. She loves that.
Awesome. So I love it. Awesome. I appreciate you being on Music Junkies today, Isaiah. If you could tell, obviously, I think you said so much with that ending comment, but if you were to, you know, give some advice, some Isaiah advice to somebody that was maybe listening, what would be some advice that you would, some words of wisdom that you'd like to leave?
I don't really know, honestly. Like, once I kind of figure everything out and and make my own stuff, then I could give some advice. But the way I look at it is I am more learning. I'm not in a position to really give advice, I would say. I'm more of in a position of, okay, this is like something new for me. I'm learning this. I want to learn as much as I can from it. And before I put my foot in my mouth, you know, I would like to learn it. And then if I could say, you know, don't do what I did, it would be simple. But how can I tell you don't do what I did without showing you what I've done, right? Like, no, I don't know.
I love it.
So I got a lot to learn before I start giving advice. And that's where I'm at in life right now.
I love it. I'm impressed. Well, again, thanks, Isaiah, joining us on Music Junkies. Like, subscribe, follow. You can find Isaiah on Instagram. Appreciate you, my son. Love you so much.
Yeah.
Finally, 50 episodes, finally gets on the show. And yeah, we'll definitely have you again for sure.
Okay.
Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram @TheMusicJunkiesPodcast.